Although it's a very long double parsha, does not mean it's any easier to find good things to say. These are not much to work with, to be honest. So hopefully I found, uncovered some interesting things to work with the parsha, but you could let me know afterwards what your thoughts are. Okay, so the first one, right in the beginning of the pasuk, the parsha, Vayakam Moshe, the Chassam Sofer, he points out that the parsha begins with halachas of Shabbos, and then it goes into Melechas and Mishkan. Hikdam Shabbos l'mechas haMishkan, v'kadosh Baruch Hu, icha Shabbos achar melechas Mishkan parshas Kisisa. In other words, parshas Kisisa, the halachas of the Mishkan, Truma and Tetava, came before Hashem introduced Shabbos and parshas Kisisa. In Vayakel, when we're repeating the dinim of Mishkan, we first mention Shabbos and then halachas of Mishkan. So why are we switching the order here? So he writes, Yesh Lomar, de Bezohar Isa de Kodim Egel, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, before Kisisa, before Chet Egel, Chum and Tetzava, Hashem requested money, donations from every single person. Afilu Eir Rav, they were included. It was a Shava B'kol. Everyone was able to participate in the Mishkan. Aval Achshav now, Parsha V'yakel, which is Acher HaEgel, after Parsha Kisisa, it says, Kichum Itchem, Chuma, May Itchem, from you, Amiso, but v'lo me'er rav. I don't want Eir Rav to contribute. They're the ones who were responsible for the Chet HaEgel. I don't want their contributions. And Aderach, the Pasuk says, lo lachem, not for you, v'lonu livnos beis alakenu. There's a Pasuk that we don't accept donations from Goyim for the Beis HaMikdash, and also gets into halachas of collecting from them for building a shul. I don't want from Eir Rav. So that's what he explained that goes on. So now the difference is, I'll say it's outside because he gets into a little bit of a tangent here. But when it came to Parshas Truma, so since Truma was Shavav Lakol, everyone was able to participate in the Mishkan, so then that was first. All Klaisel, Eir Rav, and then Shabbos afterwards. But now after Kadosh Baruch Hu limited who was able to participate, so first he mentioned the mitzvah which is Shavav Lakol, meaning even Eir Rav have to keep Shabbos. Klaisel, Eir Rav, it was Shavav Lakol. But then afterwards, he discussed the Mishkan, since it didn't apply to Eir Rav anymore, that was called secondary. Because it comes to the concept of Tadir, we call it Tadir, Sheino Tadir, Tein Tadir Kodem, whatever is more frequent comes first. He says also, whatever is more expansive, more Shava, comes first. Since Chuma, since Mishkan is no longer Shava Bakal, because he didn't accept donation for Eir Rav, he put it after the mitzvah of Shabbos, as appears in Vayakel and Pagudeh. I agree, Sam. I think Ronan should join us at the table here. Right. I think you should join us, Ronan, at the table. Yeah. I saw it, according to my eyes. Okay. Okay. So the next one is the stipler. A nice pshat in the stipler, also in the pasuk Vayakel Moshe. It says l'fi pshuto, yesh lomar tam lama hiktim Shabbos l'mechas Mishkan. Same question as the Chassam Sofer. Why do they mention Shabbos prior to the Mishkan? V'gam ma lashon el hadvarim. What are these things it says about the Pasuk? Elo Dvarim. What does that mean, these words? Shalom Atzinu B'Shem Makom. Nowhere do we find in the Torah such a language of Elo Dvarim. And also, Gam Lama Prat Dafka Havar. Why is Havar Lo Savar Eish B'chol Moshe Seichem? Why is that the Pasuk? Why is that the Malacha that's singled out in the beginning of the Parsha? These are the three questions he has. So there's a whole other pshat of how to read the Pasuk here. V'yeish Lomar Sheba Laseis Tam. He's trying to give the reason. Al Masha Amar B'Ser Sadibros. It says in the Pasuk in the Ser Sadibros, so 6 days you should work, and you should asisa kom lachtecha. He says, "Shum yusa legamre is completely action, superfluous. Legamre de lo havle lememer rak b'Shabbos lo sasem lacha." All Hashem has to tell us, don't work on Shabbos. Why is Hashem telling us work during the week? There's no mitzvah to work during the week. What do you mean? V'asisa kom lachtecha, sheish yom tavod. What does it mean to do mitzvah? There's no mitzvah lacha during the week. Sharei ein mitzvah dafka lasa mlacha kol shisha. What mitzvah exists to work in the week? So this is what he writes. Yeshlo v'alzeh v'kan l'farish v'kamar. Eilu hadvarim asher tziva Hashem lasas osam, that these things I told you to do in the Seres HaDibros, hainu mashet tziva b'Seres HaDibros, that which I told you, lasas shesh yamin, when I told you to work for 6 days, it wasn't referring to go to work during the 6 days. That you could do, obviously. There's no mitzvah to go to work per se. Hakavana al mlechas haMishkan. I was talking Seres HaDibros, says Reb Chaim, that you should work on building the Mishkan during the 6 days of the week, Shum mitzvah lasas. There's a mitzvah to actually construct such a thing. Rak b'Shabbos lo lasas, but don't do this on Shabbos. So that's what means Eilu Advarim is a reference to the Aseres HaDibros. And now he explains why Havara was singled out. So he explains a couple lines down. Lachin prat gamkin Havara. The Iker Mlacha, what was the main Mlacha done in the Mishkan that Kol Yisrael had to do? All of them had to be involved in this mitzvah, or this Mlacha. The Mlacha's Mishkan was Havara, apparently. Why? Because they all had donated clothing and cloth. Tchelas, they brought argaman, some type of purple, and Tzolas Shani, and all what. And the only way you could bring the dye in, you have to burn the colors and to make it soak and absorb in the cloth. You would cook the dye, they would color the cloth, and everything else, all the other malachas, only the professionals were able to do. Only professionals could do that type of thing. And therefore, he writes, that's why it's singled out, Lo Sevar Ish B'chol Mosh Ros Sechem, is referring to, what does it mean, Sheish Yam Taase? 6 days of the week, you should do the Melechas HaMishkan, but don't do that on Shabbos. That's why I mentioned Shabbos here in the beginning of the Mishkan. And Havar, because of, don't do Lo Sevar Ish B'chol Mosh Ros Sechem. Don't burn fire, because that was the main melacha that all Am Yisrael would be doing in terms of preparations and contributions to the mission. So that's his shot to this positive. Okay, a little bit, maybe a little confusing. Okay, we're good. Next piece is the Otzer Chaim. Otzer Chaim asks, V'yakel Moshe, Matam Nemra Parshazu B'hakel Dafka. Why was this mentioned in assembly? Why do you need to have a V'yakel? Introduce the Parsha Mishkan. Masbi, he quotes from the Sefer Eretz Chemda, Ki b'matan Torah ne'amar v'yichan sham Yisrael. Negadar, we know that Am Yisrael encamped by the foot of the mountain as a nation, as one. Ki ish echad, shayu kulam shleimim mutamim. They were all complete, they were all connected. Ba'achdus gemura mitzad ha'kedusha. They were such great kedusha, they had incredible achdus at Har Sinai. Shumakum ha'yichad, aydei ha'egel, Chazulamakum hapirid, the Eid of Egel, they began to separate, disperse, and became individuals. They had the big separation amongst them because the Chayt Egel, the Kitsitsu Benetios, a reference to cutting down trees, but a reference to separation. Gabe Yaakov, Ksiv, Shivim Nefesh. Nefesh was one singular unit of 70. The Asif says, Nefashos, they were individuals. So by the Rishayim, by Averas, we're all individuals. But when there's Kedusha, there's Achdus. Vayichan sham neged ha'har. Yeisal neged ha'har. Shivim nefesh. That's what he writes here. You want to build a mishkan? Kevin shebala hazir mal maisa mishkan lechaper el ofen ha'ega. Why do we have to build a mishkan? It was a kapar for the chayt ha'ega. So how do you get back to undo the kapara? Hutzrach lahakilam achdus achas. You have to first come together as one. You have to have another vayichan sham yisal neged ha'har. You have to have another shivim nefesh. One unit, one nefesh. And after you have the achdus of ayakel ha'am, so then we can introduce halacha as a of building the Mishkan. That was a prerequisite for the dinim of building the Mishkan. And for that reason, it says, Vayakel Moshe. The next one is a great one. I think this is the first time we're sharing a piece from a lady. And this is the mother of Chaim Volozhin shared this idea. That's what the Svarim say. What's the idea? It says in the Pasuk, V'chol isha chachmas lei b'yadea tavu, every woman were handy, who had to spin and sew and whatnot, they would dedicate their time and the Maisei Yadea to the Beis Hamikdash. It's a very lamdusha question she asked. They asked, but again, they quote from her. Makshim hare isha Maisei Yadea levaila. When a woman works, she doesn't keep the Maisei Yadea. She has to go to her husband. Her husband gets the Maisei Yadea. Anything she makes, the money she makes, the clothing she makes, it all goes to the husband. Masha kana isha kana baila. So eich nidvu, Anoshim es Maisa Yadain, the Bin Hamishkan. How are the women able to dedicate their Maisa Yadain, their actions, their profession? They don't own it. It's not there in their buy list. It's the husband's ownership to dedicate, not hers. V'yei Shlomar, so this is a big chat. The Gemara in Ksuba says, why do the men get the Maisa Yadain? Because since the men support the women, they make the money and they provide food. Tiknu mizanoseha, that the husband's willing to feed her so long as tachas masida, as long as she works for him. That's the relationship. Sylvia's here? Oh, okay. So anyways, tiknu mizanoseha tachas masida. So the relationship was that I'll give you mazonos, and you give me my seder. That was the relationship. That was the deal. That was the agreement. That the husband supports her, so she works for him. She gets all her work. However, in the midbar, who was supporting the woman? It wasn't the husband who was mefarnes the woman. Who was supporting? Hakadosh Baruch Hu was supporting. It was the man. She was not stuck. She was not, not. She didn't need the parnasa of the husband. He didn't need to support her. The man gave everyone equally. Therefore, she had full ownership of her Ma'isi Adel, and that's why she was able to dedicate her Ma'isi Adel to the Mishkan and not have to go to the husband. So that's a very nice chap. Whether you want to share it at your table or not, that's up to you. But either way, it was a nice chap, at least for us. I don't think it's so bad. I just maybe want to be sensitive. Some people are very, very sensitive, so be careful. Okay. The next one is the pasuk says, Vayas Bitzalel es Aaron Atzei Shitim. Bitzalel, he constructed the Aaron. And the Meshech Chachma, Meir Simcha, Medvinsk asks the question, Madelo Ksib Bekulo Bitzalel, why don't we have by any other of the Kalim that Bitzalel made, the Shulchan, Bitzalel made the menorah, he made Mizbeach, why Dafka, by the Aaron do we find that Bitzalel, his name, is connected to the building of the Aaron? So it's just a very simple pshat. So Madelo Ksib Bekulo Bitzalel Mishim Sheshar Hadvarim, the other items, also Gamacherim, other people made it. I mean, Bitzalel made the Mizbeach. He did make the menorah. He did make the shulchan. He made all those. But the ones that he made were not the same ones that we had in Bayis Rishon or in Bayis Sheni. Other people made those as well. Gam Acherim, Bebeis Olamim, which is the base of Mikdash. V'chein Beis Sheni, Ula Asir. Those were not the same, whatever we had and will have, not the same shulchan, the same menorah, the same Mizbeach that Bitzalel actually made. He made it. But the Gabi, the Aron, there's only one Aron. There was one Aron, there will always be one Aron. The Aron that we have that's hidden, Mishin Nignaz, Ode, once it was hidden somewhere in Har Bayis underneath the base of Mikdash. Lo Osu Acher, no one ever made a replacement, you couldn't make a replica Aron. Ki Ein Lasas Luchos Acherim, you can't make other Luchos. What are you going to put in the Aron? You're not Moshe Beno Sefer Torah, you don't have the Luchos. There's one Aron, that's it. Rak Aron Bitzalel, Hu Shekayim Ledoros, Vlo Acher, and for that reason it says, Vayas Bitzalel as Aron, he's the only one who made the Aron. No other Aaron ever will exist.
There's Lukot Moshe also. There's Lukot Moshe also. And that's the last Lukot. Like, there's no other
Lukot
also, no?
That's true. Right? That use, right. Certainly you can't replicate that. But at least the Aaron, you could have had a Havamina
right,
to make
says,
the...
It says Moshe's name by the Lukot, just like it says Bitzal's name, just solely by the Aaron.
Oh, you said that's just like the Lukot's Avada, no, there can't be other Lukot's okay. Moshe. Yeah. His name's attached to it. Very good. So too as well, we have someone's name attached to something that indicates it's for eternity. Very good. Excellent. Okay, let's go now to number 5. This sefer I got someone gave it to me as a gift. Rav Simcha Avram HaKohen Sheps, who's a Talmud of this Rav. So I got a chance to look at it. I had it for a while now, but I just sometimes pull out various svarim, see what I could find, especially when it's hard to find things in the Parsha. So it's a beautiful piece he had here. Nice shot. So the Pasuk tells us, Vayar Ha'am, I'm not sure if it's even relevant to this particular Pasuk, but... The read inside Parsha Zu Osek is Bashlamas Binyan HaMishkan. But come on, so we know that's dealing with the building of the Mishkan, Parshas Vayakob Pekudei. I'll read this outside, I'll look along, but I'm going to just translate outside. That on Chafei Kislev is when they finish the building of the Mishkan. The 25th of Kislev is when they complete it. But the Medrash says that the Moshe says, let's wait until Nisan. Let's delay the celebrations until Nisan, which is of course in just a few days, and then we will make the celebration. And the Medrash says that, Akash Baruch Hu says that, you know, I feel bad for Kislev. They missed out on an opportunity. I'll pay them back in the future. The Chanukah, Chashmonayim, they'll get paid back. Chafei Kislev, of course, is the date of Chanukah. He'll pay them back. That's the Medrash. He'll pay back Kislev. So look at the bottom right paragraph, Ulechor Akasha. It seems to be hard to understand the Medrash. Mauha Hefseid Lechodesh Kislev. What did Kislev lose out on? Shlo nishlama bo chanukas mishkan. So they missed out. They didn't complete the mishkan. Madu hutzrach hakadosh baruch hu l'shalim. Why did Hashem have to pay back a month? What's a month? It's not a person. It's not a human being. Harei hachodesh dekislev lo asu klum lebina beis hamikdash. What did Kislev do to the beis hamikdash? It didn't contribute to anything. It's not a person. Halo bnei yisrael heim shegamru Vishimu binyan Mishkan, Bnei Yisrael built it. Razman, lo garim lebinyano b'klum. The building of the Mishkan had nothing to do with time. They're building it, and happens to be they finished the Kislev. But what did Kislev do? He owes money to Kislev. He's got to pay them back years later with a Chanukas Chashmonaim. What's going on here? So he says a very nice idea. Hanir mizeh dimikan lamadnu as omek hadavar, a very deep idea. She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapech schar shum davar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold any reward. The afa pi she'ein shum zuchus mitad etzem hazman. Kislev was not deserving of the Mishkan in any way. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to pay back this month of Kislev. Sometimes we do things in life that, unintentionally, you happen to do a chesed when you didn't realize. Whatever it is, even if it's unintentional, the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always pays back reward. It was just, it happened to be that way. It was accidental. Not because Kislev deserved it, but they happened to finish the Mishkan. It was on Kislev. So it goes on to explain, the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hold back any schar. You do something for the right purpose, certainly you get schar. But even if something happens accidental, if it happens to a month, certainly if it happens to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always looking to give reward. He's always not looking to shy away. He's looking for opportunities to share with us, opportunities to give schar. I'll finish off with one last piece from the Kedusha de Levi as follows. He writes on the Pasuk Eilu Pukude that the concept the Gemara in Tainus tells us, three lines down, De'ein habracha shore b'davar hasafor v'ashakol, that if something is counted, something is weighed, there's no more opportunity for bracha. Once you've counted how much money you have in the bank, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to add more money. If you count how many grapes you have in your vineyard, it can't be bracha. The moment you count, the moment you define something, you put it in a box and there's a finite weight to it, there's no more bracha. When you don't look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could add things all the time. You don't know. But the moment you give it a number, it's stuck. Hinei, kan b'blechas ha-mishkan, dinas al pi cheshbon. The Mishkan was made with everything was so exact. Every am, every chati amra, it was all so precise. The measurements were very defined. It was very finite, very limited and rigid and inflexible. Everything was so exact and precise. Afa pikein, even though that was the case, haya bracha shoraba. But there's incredible bracha. The Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, einecha einayach brechos b'cheshvan, that your eyes are brechos, like a brecha is a source of a pool, a source of bracha b'cheshvan with a number. What does that mean? So it explains the following idea. Shorash ayin ra. What is an ayin ra? An evil eye. Bilam. Bilam's the source, he's the prototype of one with an ayin hara, ayin ra. The b'chol makom shenasan einav haya meira ba'osa davar. Whatever he looked at, he was able to put a spell, a curse on anything he looked at. Machmas de harasha his staka ba'osa davar hifrid also meishora she'elyon shemakor chayim. A person has the ability somehow, when he looks at something, no matter how good and how much bracha there might be, he could look at it and somehow detach that item from the source of Hashem, the source of a bracha somehow. And machmashaya lahut acher osa davar, he wants that item. Vaya davar nechshe b'einav, aval lo hisaka b'koach Hashem yisbarach. Asheyesh b'soch, he looks at the item, he looks at the chum, but doesn't see where the chum comes from. He looks at the table, doesn't see it comes from a Kadosh Baruch. He looks at it as is, detached from a Kadosh Baruch. And when you look at something defined and finite and precise, there's no connection to the bracha, there's no connection to Hashem anymore. That's what means ayin ra. You don't think where it comes from a good place. Aval gabei zera Yisrael, by us, by the Jews, k'siv einayich brechos b'cheshbon, that your eyes are the source of brechos. You could turn a cheshbon, you could count, even if there are a certain amount of jelly beans or whatever, there's a certain bracha to even that which has a cheshbon to it. Af b'davar sheish bo cheshbon, even if it's defined and exact and precise, uba leida minyan, you want to know the count, u mispa, you want to know how much there's, how much, how the weight, the height. If you look at it, you count it, it's not going to affect the bracha, actually. Why? Whatever we look at, although it looks like something defined, we see where it comes from. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continually to create it and to put it into existence. Asher nimsabo, the chevin shemad b'kadavar ha'hu l'shor. So since when I look at the table, I realize it comes from Hashem, I'm still connecting it to its source. As b'riya halazu, this vision, this looking, this staring, this gazing at this idea, at this item, mamshich bracha v'shefa mimekor elyon. It continues to bestow bracha on it. Al davar ahu v'zeh shekasav einayich brechos sheinayich. Your eyes, nasa kuma brechos, are like making pools of water and bracha, mayanos, like springs, hashba, af b'davar cheshbon. Even if it does have a count, even if it does have precision and measure to it, you could still turn into bracha. And that's why it's not a stira when it says, ain't a bracha shor b'davar ha-sipor. And the Gemara says, it's no bracha when you define something. That's when you look at it as the object. You don't look at it as connecting to Hashem. But the moment you look at something that's connecting to Hashem, like the Mishkan, you can't miss Hashem with the Mishkan, then there could be continued bracha, even that which is a suffer of a shakul as well. Okay? So we'll stop here and everyone have a wonderful night and a great Shabbos.